We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to Daf Lamed Gimel in the Gemara Brachos, or page Samach Zayin in the standard editions of the Ein Yaakov. And here we have a few Gemaros, which the Ein Yaakov really only quotes the beginning of the Gemara, and then he says, V'chulu, etc. Look up the rest over there. So we'll introduce a little bit of the concepts that he's quoting, just so we be familiar with them. One of the Ten Commandments are Zohar es Yom HaShabbat leKadosho. Torah says, I want you to actively remember the day of Shabbos and sanctify it. And we have on tradition that this Pasuk taught us how to sanctify the day of Shabbos. Our tradition is that we sanctify the day of Shabbos, as the Pasuk says, Zohar, by remembering it. How do you actively remember? You make mention when Shabbos enters, we say Kiddush. So Friday night, when we come home from Shul, it's the beginning of Shabbos, we make mention today is Shabbos, we say a special blessing over a cup of wine. And we also make mention of Shabbos when Shabbos leaves. We recognize that Shabbos just passed, we do what's called Havdalah. We over a cup of wine, we make a blessing in which we discern between the holiness of the day that just passed and the rest of the days that are about to begin, the weekdays. So really, we make note of Shabbos when it enters in Kiddush, and with Havdalah when it leaves. And that's the way we show the holiness of Shabbos. That's one of the ways. So far, so good? Okay. Originally, Havdalah, the text that we say for Havdalah, when the rabbis told us what text to say, they said, say that blessing over a cup of wine. Then the Jews got poor, and the rabbis said, people can't afford a cup of wine, so we'll say it in prayer. As you know, in the evening prayer of Motzei Shabbat, we say Havdalah, in the first weekday blessing, and the blessing of Atachonen LaAdam Dat, We expand and we say Atachonantanu l'madat Torahtecha, etc. Vatavdel ben Kodesh lechol. We make mention of the division that's taking place now, that the holy day just passed and the weekday begins. So we say Havdalah in prayer. Then the Jewish people got money again. So the rabbi said, okay, back to doing it over a cup of wine. And that's the way the institution remains. The rabbis left it that we say Havdalah within our prayer on Matzei Shabbos, Saturday night, when we say the prayer of Arvit, we say Havdalah within the prayer of Shemona Esrei. And we also make Havdalah over a cup of wine when we come home. So far, so good?
I heard Amavdir ben Kodesh Shechor is only good for 72 minutes.
That's another point that the rabbis instituted. If you have not yet made Havdalah, technically, once Shabbos is out, it's out. Technically, Shabbos is over. So the rabbi said, let's say you want to turn on a light. You're going to drive to shul after Shabbos to daven the evening prayer. So if Shabbos is out, Shabbos is out. But the rabbi said, we don't want you to start doing the functions of the weekday without making note that Shabbos is over. So they said, lechatchila, we want you to say, Baruch Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. That a person should say that before he starts doing work. Technically, it's just a way of showing that Shabbos is over. Chazal didn't want us to start doing our weekday activities without anything. Ideally, we say it in prayer, and then we make Havdalah, and only then we start our weekday things. But sometimes you want to do something before you go to shul, and you look at your watch, and you see, hey, it's Matzei Shabbos already. I could turn on the light, I could take my keys with me, or whatever it is you need to do, I could do that. So the rabbi said, okay, let's say your wife is waiting at home, and she wants to start doing weekday things. And you haven't yet come home from shul, but it's Matzei Shabbos. So we say, even though it's Matzei Shabbos, she should still say this form of a blessing just to discern. So it's not a real blessing. She just says, Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lecho. Blessed is the one who separates between the holy and the weekday, and then she could do her melecha. So our Gemara says, Tani Ravacha Aricha Kamei DeRavchinina. Ravacha Aricha, the tall one, the long one, he taught the following Tanaic quote before Rav Chinina. Hamavdil betfilah meshubach yoter mimish yavdil alakos. The one who says Havdalah in prayer is even more praiseworthy than he who said it over a cup of wine. But if he does both in prayer and over the cup of wine, he should have all the blessings settle on his head. And then the Talmud goes through everything we discussed earlier, that there was one stage where it was in blessings, one stage where it was in prayer, and then today we have both, and that's the way we do it. The halacha says today we do both. We say Avdallah in prayer, and we say Avdallah over a cup of wine. Clear? But he goes Bechulu. Bein Yaakov doesn't quote the whole Talmudic discourse on this, it just says etc. Look it up if you want. Rabbi Zera v'rachiv chamra v'kashakil v'azil ravach chia baravin batrei. Rabbi Zera was riding a donkey, Rav Chia baravin was going behind him. Amar levadai damritu mishmed Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer v'yom tov shecha liyot achar Shabbat v'chulu. Again, he quotes the beginning of the quote and then he says etc. So we won't go into that today. Amalei, and then he quotes another part of the quote, Lava lachaitma alamatinitma. It's not that we publicly ruled this way, like Rabbi Eliezer, but rather we say that in private, that's the halacha, but in public we try to be more stringent. The itma, Rav Yitzchak Bo'avdim Yamam Shum Rabbeinu alacha, Amam lamatin. There are two different quotes as to whether publicly we're so lenient or not, but we're not going into it. Rav Yochanan Amar Modin, Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Nirin. Amar Rav Zera, we're up to page 134. Nekot Rav Chiya Bar Abba Biyadcha. Rav Zera said, listen to the quotes of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, because he was very careful when he heard quotes. He'd make signs, he'd make himself acronyms, different ways to ensure he remembered things correctly. He did it as well as Rechava from the city of Pumpedita. How careful was Rechava when he quoted things? Damar Rechava, we're on the third line. Rechava, when he quoted his quote, he said the following. Amar Rav Yehuda, he quoted Rav Yehuda, Har Habayit Stav Kaful Haya, V'haya Stav Lifnim Stav. The Temple Mount was, it had two series of canopies. Yes? So, even though in the Mishnah, they called it an Itztiva, this form of canopy, he was so careful to hear his Rebbe. When his Rebbe used a different word, his Rebbe called it Stav. Stav is the same as Itztiva, but when he quoted his Rebbe, he quoted the exact word his Rebbe used. So we see that he had good quotes. Amar Rav Yosef ana lo hayadina velo hayadina ela midra v'shmuel yadina tetekinu lan magnita bebavel. Rav Yosef says, I don't know this quote or that quote, but this is the tradition I have from Rav and Shmuel. In Babylon, they taught us that when Matzei Shabbos is a Yom Tiv, we don't say the regular Havdalah in the evening prayer, but rather what we say, and this is also an halacha, this is what we say nowadays, when Motzei Shabbat is not a weekday. So how do you say, what are you going to say in Havdalah? You're going to say, thank you God for giving us the Saturday, and the Shabbos, the Holy Shabbos, and now we go on into the weekday. But you're not going into the weekday. Thank you God for discerning between that which is holy and that which is mundane. But Motzei Shabbos is a Yom Tiv now. It's not mundane. So how are you going to say it? What kind of Avdalah can you say? So they instituted that we say the following. Batodienu Hashem Lokenu Mishpetei Tzidkecha. Hashem, you taught us your righteous laws. Vatilamdenu lasot chukei rtzonecha. You taught us to do the statutes as you desire. Vatanchileinu zmanei sason v'chagei nedava. You gave us times of rejoicing, holidays of so to speak, of bringing volunteer sacrifices. And you gave us the sanctity of Shabbos, the honor of the Chol HaMoed, and the celebration of the holiday. This is the Avdalah that's so important. You, God, you discerned between the holiness of Shabbos and the holiness of Yom Tiv. Because here we're not going from Shabbos into a weekday, we're going from Shabbos into a Yom Tiv. So what Avdalah do we say in prayer? This is the Avdalah we say in prayer. God, you discerned between the holiness that you gave Shabbos and the holiness you gave Yom Tiv. And you sanctified the seventh day from the other 6 days. You separated and sanctified your people Israel with your holiness, and then we go on with the rest of Shmona Esrei, Vatitan Lanu, etc. Okay, now we're up to a very, very difficult and interesting Mishnah. a Mishnah that has a lot of depth philosophically and many different understandings among the sages. And we'll see, we'll have to see with which understanding we will go. The Mishnah says as follows. We're at the bottom of page 134, where you have the letter Tzadiches. Ha'omer, if someone in his prayer of Shmone Esrei, he turns to God and says, Al kan tzipo yagiu rachamecha. God, just as you had mercy over the bird, and you commanded us that we shouldn't take the baby bird in front of its mother, make sure the mother isn't present, shoo her away before you take the babies. So too, you should have mercy over your people. So if a person says that in prayer, or else he says, Ve'al tov yizacher shemecha, and over all the good that you do for the world, may your name be mentioned. So he's trying to show how he's unique in his prayer, and he has all this great kavanah, all this great new way of praying to God, and is filled with intent. Or else he says, Modim, Modim, as he's thanking God, he says, Modim more than once, Meshatkinoto. We tell him, be quiet. Why do we tell him, be quiet? So the Gemara says, okay, let's see. Bishlema modim modim. We're up to page Samaches Amad Aleph, the second line. I understand that when a guy is giving thanks and he says the word thank you twice in prayer, mishatkinoto. I understand why we tell him to be quiet. Mishum demechze kebet reshuyot. He makes it seem like there are two gods. You're saying thank you, thank you. Who are you thanking more than once? It sounds like in his prayer he's referring to two gods. A person, we said in the Mishnah, if he says, Ve'al tov yizacher shemecha, God, may your name be mentioned over all the good you do in the world. So I understand why we don't accept that as a form of prayer. Nami mashma la'tova ve'lo ha'ra'a. It seems as though we will only mention God over what's good in the world. But what's bad, that we don't attribute to God. And that's not true. We thank God whatever happens in the world. And this is an important concept. It's one of the philosophical difficulties that the world has had from the time of creation. And in Judaism we have different answers, but at the end of the day it's a difficult question. Moshe Rabbeinu was troubled with the question, God is good, how come there's bad in the world? Basic, simple question, and you know, it can be phrased in different ways, but at the end of the day, the existence of bad, when we acknowledge that God is good, is something that's difficult. So there are different answers given, but at the end of the day, it's difficult. When a guy says in his prayer, God, over all the good you do, will mention you. He seems to be indicating, but not over the bad. Or maybe you don't even do the bad. It's one of the things we're arguing against every time we say Shema. Before our Shema, we begin with a blessing where we say, God is the one who does that which is good and that which is bad. You had the Zoroastrianism, right? The Persians and the Medes, they believed that there are two forces in the world. There's a force of good and a force of bad. They said, if God is good, how come there's bad in the world? Must be there are two gods. There's one who's in charge of good and one who's in charge of bad. There's one who only takes and one who only gives, because he can't have the same God doing both. So that was their way of contending with this philosophical hardship. We know that there's one God, and we also know this is a difficult philosophical question. How come there is bad in the world? But at any rate, within our prayer, a person is not supposed to say, God, I'll mention you over all that's good. And what? And God doesn't deserve mentioning over that which is bad? The Mishnah teaches us, V'chayah v'tnan, and the Mishnah teaches, Chayav adam nevorech al ha'ra'a, k'shem shem v'rech al ha'tova. We say a blessing over bad just like we say a blessing over good. If a person, God forbid, lost a relative, they make a blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the world, who is an honest judge. I don't necessarily understand his judgment. It's not that I can answer. If you ask me why God did some things, I'm not going to be able to answer for God. I don't know. But I know he's an honest judge. And that's the blessing we make over bad things that happen. So the Gemara says, I understand the last two cases of the Mishnah. I understand why we don't accept that type of prayer. But when the guy says, God, just like you had mercy over the nest of a bird, so too you should have mercy over us, why don't we accept that? Why is that a problematic prayer? So in understanding this, there was a machlokes, there was a disagreement between two Amoraim, two rabbis of the Talmud in the west. West of Babylon is Israel, right? So we're learning the Babylonian Talmud. When they refer to the west, they're talking about Israel. So in Israel, there were two rabbis who argued. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. These two rabbis, the two Rabbi Yossis, the son of Rabbi Avin and the son of Zvida. One says, because he seems to show favoritism in God's creation. He says, God, you had mercy over the birds. What about the grasshoppers? No such mitzvah. You could eat two grasshoppers at the same time. What about the fish? No such mitzvah. You could eat two fish at the same time. You could take the baby fish in front of the mother fish. So when he says that, he says, God, just like you had mercy over the bird. Again, he seems to be indicating like the later part of the Mishnah, that God has God's only there for the birds. What about the fish? God's also there for the fish, right? So the first answer is because he seems to, in his prayer, he's showing as though there's favoritism in God's creations. The Chadamar, another understanding is, Mipnei she'oseh midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim, he's referring to God's mitzvos as though they stem from mercy, as though we understand them. And we have to know that God's mitzvos are His decrees. This is how He wanted us to lead our lives. We are responsible to observe His mitzvot. And we have mitzvot that we understand, we have mitzvot that we don't understand, but at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we're not doing it because we understand it. And that's a key point. When we start saying, oh God, like the mercy you had over the birds, so too you should have mercy upon us, we're indicating as though we understand the mitzvah. So then when a person comes before us and says, wait a second, but maybe it's more humane to kill an animal by giving it lethal injection, maybe it's more humane to kill an animal by doing other things, so then we're going to be stymied. Wait a second. We're going to be stuck. A guy's going to say, you're telling me the Torah told you to eat kosher because it's a healthy diet. Well, today they've discovered that the healthiest thing to eat is pork. What are you going to say then? Answer, we never claim that we understand the reasoning behind the mitzvot. We can see nice reasons in the mitzvot, but at the end of the day we have to know that our observance of mitzvot does not stem from the reasons we think are there behind the mitzvot. And so we have to be careful not to give too much weight to the reasons we give. If we give so much weight that we use it in prayer, it's as though we say, we understand your mitzvot, God. So now we could say, just like you had mercy, that's obviously the reason why you told us not to take the baby bird in front of the mother bird's eyes, because you had mercy over the bird. Answer, tells us the Mishnah, no, you don't know why God said so. It's a nice reason, maybe, but then how are you going to answer why we don't have that mitzvah about fish? Or grasshoppers, or other creatures, you don't have an answer. So you can't apply these reasons. Sometimes in Chazal we do have reasons. Our sages told us it's a good thing to notice the beauty of the reasons of the mitzvot of the Torah. But we always have to remember the limitation, that the reasons we give are limited to our perception. And at the end of the day, we don't know. God did not reveal to us the real reason behind the mitzvot. On certain mitzvot, they seem to make sense to us. But to say that that's the reason why, we can't say with any amount of certainty, that's the reason why. Clear? Ahu denachit kamei de Rabba. There was a person who went down, he went to pray before Rabba. Once upon a time, and in Europe, some shuls still have this, the person who went to daven before the congregation would go down a few steps. Because the verse says, "Mima'amakim kiraticha Hashem." King David says, "I call to you from the depths." So they made it that the chazan would walk down a few steps. The place where the chazan stood would be down a few steps, and from there he would say his prayers. So when we refer to a person who is the shaliach tzibur, he is the one who is leading the congregation in prayer. We say he is nachit. He went down because they used to go down to pray, literally walk down a few steps. So. This man was leading the congregation in prayer before Rabba. Ve'amar, and in his prayer he said, Atahasta al kantzipo, God, you had such mercy over the nest of the bird. Chuz v'rachem aleinu, so too you should have mercy and pity over us. Amar Rabba, when Rabba heard him praying like that, Rabba said, "Kama yada haitzubam rabbanan lirtzui lemare." Wow, this sharp student, look at how well he knows how to appease his creator. Now that's bewildering. You know, the guy just said the exact opposite of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, don't do that. The guy did the opposite of the Mishnah, and Rabba seems to be praising him. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye turns to Rabba and he says, you're praising him? But the Mishnah says, you tell him, be quiet, don't pray like that. Answers the Gemara, Rabba was also just, he wanted to sharpen Abaye. He was making sure that Abaye was with it. What's the connection between Rabba and Abaye? So Rabba Bar Nachmani, that's the Rabba we're talking about here. He was a big rabbi out in Babylon. And Abaye, his real name was Nachmani. Abaye was orphaned. His father died when his mother was pregnant, and his mother died at childbirth. Abaye was orphaned. So Rabba Bar Nachmani adopted this orphan called Nachmani and brought him up in his own house. Now the orphan's name was Nachmani. Rabba's own father's name was also Nachmani. Rabba didn't want to call the orphan the same name that's his father's name. It's not so respectful to call a kid, to call someone else by your father's own name. So instead, Rabba called him Abaye. Abaye means my father. Meaning you got the same name as my father, Abaye. And Abaye grew up in Rabba's home as though he was his adopted child. Rabba brought him up. He was orphaned and Rabba took him in. So Rabba is like a father to Abaye. Abaye is later going to learn by Rabba's contemporary, Rav Yosef. But technically, we find Rabba was like his adoptive father. And we find often throughout the Shas stories like this, where Rabba is standing next to Abaye and Rabba says something and the Gemara says, wait a second, that's not right. And the Gemara says, you're right. Rabba was testing Abaye. He was making sure that Abaye was with it. Abaye was like his son, so he kept testing him, kept keeping him on his toes. Hahu denachit kameid Rabbi Chanina. A person went down again. He was the Shaliach Tzibur before Rabbi Chanina. Amal, he said in his Shmona Esrei, we say in our Shmona Esrei, Akel HaGadol HaGibor VaNora, the potent one who is great and mighty and awesome. Right? That's how we begin our Shmona Esrei. That's what the men of the Great Assembly instituted. He added to those praises. This man said, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaNora, Ha'adir, Ve'ha'amitz, Ve'azuz, Ha'amiti, Ve'ayaru, Yechazak, Ve'avadai, Ve'anechbad. Yeah, so the guy's going on and on, giving praises to God in his Shmona Esrei. Hemtino Adisiyem, Rabbi Chanina waited for this guy to end. Kisiyem, when the guy ended all these different terms of praise, Amale, so Rabbi Chanina said to this chazan, Siyemtino lekulu shivchei demarach, are you finished praising your Creator? Are you done with the praise you have to say to God? Is that it? That's all you have to praise God with? Lamalach kulihai. Why do you say all these different forms of praise? In Shmona Esrei, our sages instituted three terms of praise. Anan, we. Haneit lat amrinam. The three terms of praise that we do say. Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. Ilav damrinu Moshe Rabbeinu Boraita. If Moshe in the Torah wouldn't have said those three. The atu anshei knesset hagdola v'tekninu b'tfila, and the men of the Great Assembly instituted in our prayer that we should say it. Anan lo ave amrinan, we wouldn't have said it, even though it appears in the Torah. We don't adopt our own forms of praise because we always say whatever we say is less than God deserves. So by what right are we going to begin saying praise which doesn't come close to be befitting of God? So we, if we're going to institute a set prayer that we say every day, all of Israel says it, it has to be adherent to the truth. If we can't say the truth, we shouldn't say anything. But being that Moshe said it in the Torah, and the men of the Great Assembly instituted it, fine. So we say these three terms of praise. Ve'at shabachte kulei hai, and you think you can go ahead and just praise with all those forms of praise? Mashal le'melech shayul, meshabchin oto ba'alfei alafim dinarei kesef. I'll tell you what it's like. A king, people are coming and praising him with thousands and thousands of silver coins. Vayulo elef alafim dinarei zahav. And he has thousands of gold coins. they're telling him, how much silver you got? And really, he's got a lot of gold. Aren't they deriding him? They think they're praising him, but they're not. Same thing here. You think you're praising God, but you're not coming close to the praise that God really deserves. You're not even in the ballpark. It's like the difference between silver and gold. They didn't tell him, you're praising him with 10 and really he deserves a million. He said, you're praising him and you're not even entering the ballpark. It's like praising silver when really it's gold. So he taught him that we only say the praise in our Set Shmona Esrei. We don't say any praise other than what our sages taught us. And there's Hashem over here. We'll pick up next week.